Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? It's a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? It's Wednesday. God, I don't even know what day it is. It's been one of those weeks for me in my real life role, my Clark Kent role, you know? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation Preview Podcast. What is the Preview Podcast, you ask me, right? You're like, what are you talking about? Why did this pop up on my feed? And why is it numbered? Why is it not numbered? Well, that's because we just decided not to do it that way. We're previewing UTEP. You know, that's a fun thing, Mr. Aldo, sitting with me here on this Wednesday evening. It's the fun thing about being a good team is that every game means something. You know, in 2015, were you hyped about the UTEP game? I wasn't. 2014, were you hyped about the UTEP game? No, I wasn't.
Yeah. I was sad.
Yeah. You're just like, well, maybe we can score a touchdown this time. Just like it's really all you come down to. So this has a feel of 2013 when we played a terrible UTEP Minor team. We had a homecoming game. We were also 6-3 then, and we blew them out. UTEP got blown out, and still we had 26,000 people in Denton. Some of that was the UTEP fans getting to see their team in Dallas up close. You know, there's a lot of transplants. Like, believe it or not, there's nowhere to work in West Texas with your degree from your university, say your Texas Tech or your UTEP. Yeah. And so you're like, well, where do I go now with my fancy degree? I have all this book learning. Where do they pay people for book learning? So you go move to a real city, right? You move to Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston.
Midland, Odessa.
We'll make it in the big time in Odessa. I mean, these are just facts, guys. Are you guys really going to dispute me on this? You're not. You're not. I know you're not. Because I know you're like, you know a guy who's a Texas Tech alum, and he's sitting right next to you right in Flower Mound. I know it. You know it. We all know it. We get it. So that's the deal. There's a lot of UTEP fans there in Dallas, and, you know, they're like, cool, let's go to the game. I don't think they were super excited to do that. In 2015, last time we played them in Denton, do you remember a lot of UTEP fans? I think the official attendance was 8,000.
For 2015?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I was there. I don't remember it.
See, hey, you're there and you weren't even there. Just like drifting off. Like, God, think of all the places I could be right now. So attendance was 8,000 that day. I mean, I guess the bathroom lines weren't long at all. You know, you can go get a hot dog.
You know? I mean, they never are. We're being honest.
All right, so that's the deal. Is that like people are excited about going to this game? People were telling me here in San Antonio, I got some fellow alums, right, you know, hanging out and stuff. It's like, you go to the game, like, ah, I can't make it, man. I really want to. Oh, I can't make it. And you know, so like people were excited about going to this game. You know, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I just want to say that if we reach the levels that we had in 2013, that'd be awesome, both from our fans and their fans, because they brought a lot of people, even though they weren't doing so hot. I mean, they were doing a little bit better than this year, but they still brought a lot of fans. And I was sitting in the tail, probably a few sections higher than you, a couple of sections higher than
you. See, you only know that because I posted a video evidence. Everybody's stalking right now.
And I was surrounded by minor fans, and I was pretty surprised, actually, about the number of minor fans.
Yeah, UTEP brought more fans than UTSA did, just FYI for everybody. Just generally speaking, UTEP is a more well-supported school, and, you know, I like to make fun of them because I just like to make fun of everybody. But UTEP is way more support. I mean, they had one of the best blogs, Conference USA blog. I think the only Conference USA blog on SB Nation for the longest time, and they still do, right? Minor Rush is you know, an ongoing thing. You know, some of that is because they've had an historic program, right? You know?
I was going to say they have history.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's there. UTEP is they're a quality school. When they're good, things are good. But I don't personally shed too many tears, or any tears at all, really, when they're bad. I mean, I'm just being honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you right now, I don't care too much for UTEP. Like, I just don't think about them. I don't hate them. I just don't think about them. It's like, well, yeah, it's UTEP. And I feel like they kind of feel the same way about us, and so that's fine. Like, well, I don't think about North Texas, actually. I'm like, okay, it doesn't hurt my feelings. No. Okay, go there. We'll go past each other. We're not the Zacks bumping into each other. Just, fine. I don't care. So it kind of sucks at these. They are terrible this year. They are winless. And I took a look at the schedule when I did my Conference USA power rankings. The unofficial but go-to power rankings of Rice's news blog. It's like news that rice.edu. They're like, hey, site ranked us 12th. I was like, what? There you go, guys. Prestige.
12th out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically that. They, I don't think they're going to win a game. Is that where you look at here? And yeah, that means basically they're not going to win a game against us this week.
I honestly don't know who else they're playing, but yeah, it's pretty accurate. They're having a rough year. They lost a coach, maybe two coaches. I can't remember.
Sean Coogler. One, Sean Coogler did not look super excited about the season when I talked to him at Conference USA Media Days. He was sitting by himself, looking pretty lonely. I was there. I was kind of waiting on another coach. I just kind of felt obligated because like the UTEP AD was kind of looking at me like, you got to do it, man. And I was like, damn it. Hey, Sean, how's it going? How about telling me a little bit about UTEP this week? He didn't look super excited, and he, you know, he looked like he was trying to convince himself. He's like, no, I believe in my quarterbacks. You know, I'm going to ask him, like, so you lost an NFL caliber running back. How do you replace somebody like that, you know? We believe in our quarterbacks. We believe in our offense. It's, you know, we believe in our offensive line and our philosophy. And all that's true, and I think if you talk to some of the minor rush guys, we didn't get to bring them on tonight. They were pretty busy this week. I think that guy just, like, high school football stuff. Like, he calls games. Guy's a busy dude. But he has said, he's, you know, like, they stuck too much to this philosophy. I think Brett Bloomquist of the El Paso Times says that, you know, they just keep beating their head against a rock. Like, instead of turning over a new rock, finding some new path, they just keep beating their head against it. They are 0-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9. And they play us this weekend, Louisiana Tech, and UAB. And all those teams are significantly better than UTEP. There's no hope. I think they're going to go winless.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's the rest of the season is just for Will Hernandez, the right guard,
yeah,
to put some tape together for the NFL draft.
Yeah, it's basically that right now. I mean, and I feel for him because we went through this exact same season basically 2 years ago where we just looked at the schedule and we're like, we're not going to win any of these games. Hopefully, maybe against UTSA and hopefully maybe against UTEP. We ended up losing that game to UTEP. It was like 20-17. And I think the walk-on, is it Trey Johnson or something like that? I think his name is. He returned a kick for, you know, touchdown. He seemed like he was going to be the future. But then he just got let go. They never gave him a scholarship. He was a little tiny guy. I do remember those things about that game. Everything was terrible. It looked like we were just going through the motions. I went that 2015 season to Knoxville to go watch North Texas play against Tennessee. And there's no excitement on the sideline. You had coaches like, come on, guys, get excited. And, you know, it just wasn't there. I mean, we lost 24-0, but it didn't look – we just looked like we were just trying to get out. Yeah, get in, get out, do our job, be done.
Get paid.
Yeah, and I heard stories later on from – they're just like, yeah, I mean, guys on the team were just like, please don't say that I play on a team, you know. And, you know, just like it was not fun. It was not fun to be on that 2015 team. And I look at this UTEP team now, and I see the same thing. Like, you can just see them kind of going through the motions. They just want to get in, get out. They had their chance when the coaching change happened. You know, they played Western Kentucky pretty close, 15-14 loss. And then, you know, they lost 24-0 against Southern Miss. They had a bye. They came back against UTSA. It was 17-0, and then it was 17-14. There's a couple touchdowns, but then they just had nothing after that. Last week, only 137 yards. I say all that took up 10 minutes to say that, yes, UTEP is terrible. They are bad, and North Texas should beat the pants off these guys. They should beat the orange off their helmets. They should beat the logo off off the word mark. I don't know. I'm out of things now. But yeah, they should do all those things to them. What do you got?
Yeah, it's you know, it's unfortunate. They've got some good pieces, kind of like we had good pieces in 2015. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got that draft caliber guard. Their quarterback Greenlee's a running quarterback. I mean, I actually don't know who's playing this week. They've been playing about four quarterbacks. He's pretty quick. He can run the ball pretty well. He's exciting to watch, but he's a senior. And I think they've got a receiver. The cornerbacks are pretty aggressive. It's just been bad coaching all season long. They'll have a good drive and then they'll stall out. They'll have a score. And like you were saying, they'll put some scoring drives together, but then they'll just stall out. That's good for us, you know, but it kind of sucks for them.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't had a really good quarterback. I mean, they had Jamel Showers, in 2014, 2013, 2014. That was like we're making a move. You know, a couple years ago it was Mac Leftwich, Ryan Metz. It's a holdover from last year. Last year he threw for 1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns against four picks. Zach Greenlee had time. He threw 103 times, 50% completion, five TDs. So they thought they had something. You know, they mixed in Metz again, but, you know, he's averaging 3.9 yards an attempt. Zach Greenlee has thrown, you know, about 100 times, three touchdowns, three picks. They've mixed in Mark Torres. Not only is, like, Mark Torres young, all these guys have gotten injured or they've been just bad. The offensive line has been bad. I know I'm outside of the one dude. The run game, they relied a lot on the run game with Aaron Jones, as you might expect. And they just don't have it. You know, just for example, Aaron Jones ran for 1,700 yards last year, 17 touchdowns. And, you know, this year it's what? Quadre's Wadley. 277
looks good
yards.
On tape.
Yeah.
He's been injured.
Yeah, he's been injured too. It's just like a combination of things. They have a couple pieces that in theory you'd like them to get time, and you know they don't because they're injured. And so you have injuries and players that are maybe not up to snuff. If you talk to some people that follow recruiting a lot, like Sean Coogler missed a lot in recruiting. I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of...
I mean, you kind of feel for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel for them just because we know we were there just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's a game and we need to beat them. They're not good right now and we need to just whoop.
Yeah. So I was kind of debating and we were kind of having this conversation as we were preparing for the show. I was like, I don't think it's really worthwhile to kind of look at them and say, where does UTEP rank and how can we beat them? Like, you know, they're not good anywhere. There's no place where you're just like, we got to worry about. I know, like Seth Luttrell kind of was like to the point of parody today, just in his coach speak. Yesterday. I couldn't even make it all the way through. He's like, well, you know, they got a good team over there. Oh, they're long. They play downhill. And I'm just like, I mean, okay. Yeah, all right.
In coach robot mode.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you have to prepare for them and take them seriously. But this week is less about really preparing for them and preparing yourself. Like, this team's not good, and you have to guard against like not taking them seriously. Like, you have to come out and execute like they are good, and that's hard to do. It could even mess you up because you're expecting them to do good things, and you're just like find yourself so wide open, like was there like a penalty? Did somebody hold? How am I so wide open over here? You know, that kind of thing. There's a lot of that there. I think there is danger in this game. And I know a lot of people are like, we got to make sure we handle this best. Yes. I mentioned this beginning of the season, right? You can go back and listen to it. I said, Lamar's not good. And because they're not good, and because of the situation, they hadn't practiced. We're dragging them out of a hurricane into a football game, basically. It was like, hey, here's a towel. Dry off. Now line up because we're going to do the kickoff, you know? So we should have scored a lot of points. And we did. We did a good job against them, although they did score some touchdowns. They scored that long, long touchdown one. I didn't like that. But for the most part, we did what we're supposed to do. And that gives me hope because we should do the same thing to UTEP. UTEP's a more talented team than like a Lamar, but they're not a good team. They don't really want to be there. They'll take advantage of us if we play down to them, I think, if we just don't come out and execute and don't play, don't say, have that same excitement, as like Latrell says.
I think the biggest advantage, though, is that they're not a well-coached team.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might come out guns blazing. They might score one touchdown, two touchdowns in the first half, surprise us, but they'll get out-coached.
Yeah.
They'll make adjustments.
Yeah, exactly. So did you hear what I think Keyshawn McClain said? I think he might have said it to, like, Matthew Bruni, guy from the NT Daily. Kid is writing some pretty decent stuff out there. He said something like, a couple years ago, guys would just come out and make their own calls. I might have been on Beyond the Green. They were just like, oh, I don't like this call. I'm just going to make my own call. Like, whatever. You know, like, this time, guys believe in the system. They're doing what they're supposed to do. So we're going to see some of that this weekend because I'm sure the UTEP guys are doing the same thing. They have an interim coach and sure, whatever. You know, they're just like, look, I have to just make myself look better. And it's not an unreasonable thing to do, right? You're like, look, these coaches have led me to an 0-9 season. Maybe we should try something else. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I should blindly follow this guy. Who, you know what I mean? It doesn't seem like it's a good idea. Let's maybe try some of our own things. So, I mean, I don't... it's hard for me to argue against that, right? But, so, like, I mean, what we should do... I think I might have just lost my point there, just making fun of him. You're talking about, like, executing against some... we basically just need to do that, execute hard. We don't need to get, like, they're going to come out guns blazing. We need to make it hard for them. They'll happily take a game that's easy, and they're like, hey, we're not getting our asses kicked. Maybe, hey, let's enthusiastically run this next play, right? But if we come out, hit them hard in the mouth, right, bust up their play, their favorite play that they always start the game with, and they're just like, you know what? I don't know if I want 60 minutes of getting my ass kicked today. You know, let me just, we'll just run the ball, we'll punt. It's fine. Just get out of here. I don't know if I want to battle for extra yards, especially now that they just scored a touchdown. Jalen Guyton just got it 77 yards. I don't know if I want to be in and make this a longer day than it needs to be. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Let's make them quit. They want to quit. They don't want to be there. Let's make them quit.
Yeah, and, you know, just to correct you, I think it's going to be Jalen Darden that's going to have a good day.
Oh, yeah?
Calling it.
Oh, yeah? Mark over my words. Yards. Not so fast, my friend. No, no. it's a little Aldo putting on his prognostication hat.
That
it's green
and,
with white lettering and gold glitter.
Mason Fine's going to have several. I know, and I'm part of the team that is don't run Mason Fine, but I think we're going to run Mason Fine a lot, and he's going to have several rushing touchdowns.
You know, let's make it happen. Passing defense, UTEP is, in terms of touchdowns allowed, they're last in the conference. Well, they're tied for 12th at 16. Guess who's the worst without looking? Just look at me. Look at me right in the eye. Who's the worst team in the conference in passing touchdowns allowed?
North Texas.
Yes, you're right. North Texas. So we can't get too hyped over here. They have 6 interceptions. We only have 5. And teams throw 34.5 times against us, and they throw 27.9, which is basically 28 times game against them. So, hey, they're actually a little bit better than we are.
Well, I think it's a product of the system or game scripts. I think teams run all over UTEP. They don't pass them.
Yes, that's what I was going to say next. I mean, they're just not good. You just look at this. They're last in rushing yards allowed. And that's great because we have a really good running back. We have a couple good running backs. We have a guy who ran for 165 yards last week. And, you know, I expect he's going to have a big day this time, slicing them up. You know, they're averaging like 5.2 yards a carry, allowed 26 touchdowns on the ground. You're saying teams have ran 43 times a game against them for 226 yards. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and their offensive production, let me go back real quick. I'm trying to find their rushing, if I can find that button.
It's called rushing. Just click the one that says R-U-S-H-I-N-G. Did you get it?
There it is. It's 3.15 yards per carry.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, I don't know how many times you could say they're not good. They come out like this 3.35, this 3.4 kind of hybrid thing. They're not very big. The nose tackles, 280, 6'1", 280. Sky Logan, 6'1", 280. Josh Ortega, 6'2", 285. He's a freshman. That's not very big. La Tech was not very big. We ran all over them when we decided to run against them. I think maybe a few people were like, oh, but Graham Harrell really needs to figure this out. And, yeah, sort of. They got freshmen just all throughout their two deep on defense. Trace Mascoro, 6'1", 270, freshman from Refugio, Texas. Dedrick Simpson, 6'2", 275, freshman, Houston, Texas. You know, they just don't have a whole lot of guys there that are big and imposing. They can move our guys, you know? We have a decent line, a line that's been moving bigger guys, stronger guys, better guys, I dare say. And, you know, I think we can handle this UTEP line.
Yeah, and we're kind of doing a lackluster job or a roundabout way of just saying we're going to run all over them.
Well, here's the thing. If we don't, then you should get mad, because we really should. Like, we should come out and, I mean, just get our five best running plays. Like, the ones that have busted up everybody, right, and say, this is what we're practicing this week. We don't really need to go too deep in the well. We just come out with our best stuff, execute that really, really well, and that should be all that, you know, we need against this team. And I think that's the most respectful way to handle that team, is to just take them out.
Yeah, run out the clock. I mean, it'll be a good day if Evan Johnson and Nick Smith combine for like 20 carries. But I know Graham Harrell's going to run Mason Fine like 6 or 7 times.
I mean, I don't, you know, that's the thing about these air raid guys, that they start like, hey, man, they're not good. We can just, let me see this play right here. I like this play. We haven't been able. I don't know. On the one hand, you want to make it fun for the guys, but, I mean, I don't know. I just think you just take care of business, especially with everything that's coming up. Army's coming up, and I know I'm looking forward. You're like, Adam, no, don't be. Guess what? Nobody consults me on any game planning. I am not hindering anybody from preparing for UTEP right now.
If you look ahead to Army, then the team's going to sleep on UTEP.
I was looking at tickets to the conference championship game this week. Yes, I was. Do JetBlue. I don't know. JetBlue's pretty terrible. It's fairly cheap. Round trip. It's pretty affordable. I don't know. I don't know if you guys are out there just like kind of taking a peek. Here's the thing. If we take care of business, even if, let's say, not worst case scenario, but very bad scenario, right? Like second to worst. We squeak out a win. It's something like the La Tech game or maybe even the ODU game where we're like, oh my God, what the hell were we thinking? What the hell happened here? That was a terrible performance by a team that's supposed to be number one in the West. That's awful. Let's fire Seth Luttrell again. Because we fired him a few times during the season, if you look at the internet.
Refit and Harrell.
Yeah, they've been fired. Yeah, we fired Graham Harrell play to play. It's like, oh, that's a terrible handoff. Fired. Here's the thing. Even if we squeak out a win, we win a division. It's ours. You know what I mean? So, like things are set up pretty well. We win. If we win one game, and it's probably against UTEP, they're the worst team. They're actually less worse than Rice is. Like, Rice can actually score, and they scare me a little bit. Remember, we went down 17 to them. You remember they scored 28 against Louisiana Tech a couple weeks ago, and we only scored 24. You know, they're pretty scary, and it's after Thanksgiving, you know? Like, we're going to be fat and have all that turkey.
Full of tryptophan.
Yeah, you know, that. And traveling down to Houston, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's ripe for an upset to me. I've been looking at that game like, man, we may not do exactly what we need to do in that one. But this was the game to beat. Homecoming, at home, following a big win. We need to blow them out. Like, we absolutely need to blow them out for the future. To get up. We need newspaper headlines. We need highlights. We need highlights to show recruits to say, man, look at North Texas with this 57 points this weekend. 57 to nothing. 65 to nothing. Wow, that was amazing. Yeah.
To zero.
Aldo's favorite score, 81-0. But yeah, we need that. It's good. I mean, like, LaTeX. Florida Atlantic has been blowing teams out, and that's raising a profile. And, you know, Lane Kiffin's tweeting it out. Our coach is not going to tweet anything fun out. He's not going to do it. You know what I mean? His press conferences are perfunctory. You know, there's, I mean, that's not his that's not his bag.
That's the literal worst.
Yeah, he seems, there's like two guys asking him questions. I mean, he has to drive over there, right? Set up, put on his hoodie.
Yeah, he just says, you know, they're a good team. We got to prepare.
Exactly.
What are the questions?
Yeah.
Well, Brett.
I don't know. I don't know, Brett. Did we play well? God, I feel like that's inside. There's some guy just going, ah. I get it, dude. So you see,
all phases of the game.
You see our point here, that we're gonna have to get headlines some way, and that's by blowing teams out. You know what I mean? Like it's fine. You don't have to be. You know, like a showman. You don't have to be Ric Flair out here. Be real good on the mic to be a great head coach. It's fine. You don't need to do that. But you know, we're football fans. Not necessarily Seth Luttrell fans. I don't come here to see him. You know, I don't go there to see him walk around the sideline. And it looks like he has dip in his pocket. I don't know what that is, man. I have my suspicions. That's just me. Again, I'm rumor mongering right now. Please don't take that anywhere.
I think he just has the, you know, big jawline.
No, there's like a – I saw it. He was putting something in his pocket. There's a circle can in there, you know what I mean? Maybe it's like hair gel. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying. So my point is, I don't go there to see that dude. I go to see some football, and I like blowing teams out. I like my team to win big. I like to excitedly point at the score line, you know? And it gives everybody following the game, all the writers, time to go through the North Texas record and fact book and tweet it out like they thought it up themselves. Like, did you know the last time we blew a team out by 50 points? It's right there. You're just reading a stat book, guy. Okay? But yeah, that's the fun part. Well,
and it kind of reminds me of some of the discussions we were having last off season, where before the 2016 season, when we first got the air raid installed, first had Alec Morris come in, and we were like, well, you know, to break records, he doesn't have to do that much.
No, he has to throw a couple passes. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. A few passes a game, a few hundred yards a game. And, he'll blow records out of the water. He's already, what, top 10, I'm assuming? I'm just guessing he's top 10 in career stats?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, he broke the top 10 when I wrote that post. I was like, hey, he's the Mason Fine stat watch. I mean, he's regressed a little bit, like, in terms of, like, pace. I mean, he's not hitting, like, the, what was it, he was on pace for, like, 3,500 yards or something like that. But here's it. We're adding more games to his deal, so that's good.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah.
But even with just a 12-game season, he was looking at beating most of the guys for at least a single season yardage.
Yeah. Yeah. Mason Fine right now is at 2,600 yards, 19 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I don't like that 9 interceptions. But yeah, he's kicking ass.
Yeah, and those 9 interceptions kind of reflects the issues he's been having, and why his pace has slowed down a little bit. He's been short on lots of his passes down the sideline, which is fine because
it's not fine. Mason, not fine.
Sorry.
Sorry, I apologize.
It's okay because he's, you know, they've been having him throw over the middle of the field to Bussey when he's running a slant or a drag route or Lawrence or Darden. So instead of passing it down the field to Guyton, we've been taking the short stuff.
But and that's, you know, like based on what they're giving us, they're really exactly sitting over the top of Guyton. And I don't really mind. I don't think there's anything wrong with Jalen Guyton just running deep patterns, just, you know, to keep his conditioning up, and, you know, like half the defense runs with him while we throw it to anybody else, right, for nice 15-yard chunks. Like, that's fine to me. And, you know, like, Jalen Guyton's not going to be super happy about it because his number's not going to get up and nobody's going to gift that. but it's winning football, you know? Like, that's how you do it. You get so good that the defense focuses on you, and you can be a distraction by just running a pattern. That said, I think Graham Harrell's done a good job of keeping Guyton involved in the game.
Yeah, so they've switched him from not always just running a go route to running more hitch routes, running more routes across the field, which is fine, but I kind of prefer Bussey being that kind of guy just because he's bigger, stronger, and a tackle breaker versus Guyton, who is more of the speedster and not really and more of an agility guy and not really the big dude that Bussey is.
Yeah, I think we're all of the mind that like Rico Bussey is a more of a possession type guy. Jalen Darden is like a big play from a catch and run, and Jalen Guyton is a deep guy over the top. You know, they all can do any of the other things. I mean, it's not like they can't, but I'm just like ideally, you know, an ideal play. So you know, we're asking the single season passing leaders, right? Pass attempts, Giovanni Vizza, UTSA graduate assistant. 493 pass attempts. What are we at right now? 324, and we got like 5 games left. I think that might go down. That might go down a little bit. Mason Fine's averaging something like 30 a game or something like that. I can't do the math just looking at it right here. Passes completed, 204. Mason Fine is 204 this season. That puts him 7th all-time single-season passing completion, 1 behind Riley Dodge. Derek Thompson had 214 in 2012. He had 251 in 2013. I think that one's probably going down too. I think, you know, what is it? 5 more games. If he completes 20, 25 a game, that's another 100. Let's ballpark him at 300. Giovanni Vizza's completion record is 309 in 2008. So I think that's also.
Yeah, he'll be getting close, but. The difference being that Fine is going to need 2 more games to get there.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. He won a lot more games, I guess. That's the other part of it. The rating.
That's you, funny.
Yeah. The rating, 144.81 is Mason Fine's current rating. So let's assume he stays at that one. The single season passing efficiency rating is Mitch Maher. Is it Maher? Mitch Maher? M-A-H-E-R? I don't know. I've never had to say it out loud until right now. I didn't even prepare for it.
Apologies to the old guys.
Yeah, sorry, old Mitch. You know, 1994, he finished at 198.9. So 144 puts Mason Fine just under Scott Hall 2003 and just above Mitch Maher in 1993 at 137.4. FYI. 19 touchdown passes. The single-season record is Mitch in 1994, 26 TDs. Then you have 3 guys tied at 24 TDs, Steve Ramsey in 1969, Steve Ramsey in 1968, and then Mitch in 1993 at 24. So if Mason Fine tosses 2 more, what is the average in the game right now? What have we played?
I'm assuming a little under 2.
We played 9. Yeah, it's something like that. So... let's say 10 more touchdown passes.
I'm hoping so.
Let's say 10 more, then he's gonna blow that out the water, man. He's gonna be at 29 TDs. You could, you know, we haven't had a guy throw 30 ever here. So there you go. 26-25, right? That was his yardage so far. That already puts him 6th all time, just under Derek Thompson's 2012 season, just above Mitch Maher 1993 at 25-95. He passed Mitch, Giovanni Vizza in 2007, Scott Davis in 88, Steve Ramsey in 69, and then, you know, the 1993 Mitch Maher one. So he shot up the single-season passing records. And, hey, guess what? These are pretty, relatively speaking, these are pedestrian-type numbers. Like, these are not, wow, look at this guy. I mean, you look at Baker Mayfield out there throwing 598 yards. What does he have, like 3,600 yards already, that guy?
Product of the system, man.
I mean, that's great. Let's bring that system here. Oh wait, we have it already. Yeah, I mean, like, we're getting to that point. And this is all illustrating Aldo's point, which is my point, which is our point, which is everybody's point, that hey, it turns out we haven't had a whole lot of passing amazingness here at North Texas. So even, like I said, pedestrian air raid numbers, which are good, are all-time records here at North Texas.
Yeah, and when he means pedestrian, he's saying in the, you know, broader football world, broader college football world.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, you start hurting people's feelings. You know, somebody throws a touchdown pass, like, yeah, it was not the greatest. Like, you go out there and try to throw a touchdown. Like, no, I can't. I mean, I was cut from the team, you know, like, a long time ago. That filter, I didn't make that one, you know what I mean? But for guys that can throw touchdown passes in major college football, you know, you can compare them against other guys that have done that, and that's a fair comparison. Speaking of completion percentage, 63% for Mason Fine. That puts him just under Daniel Mager's 2007 season, in which he only threw 169 passes. Mason Fine's already thrown 324. Among guys that have thrown 300-plus, Derek Thompson, 64% in 2013, and old Riley Dodge, Kid Dodge in 2009, 67%.
I think the most important stat here is the yards per attempt.
Yeah, 8.1. Do we have yards per attempt readily available? You know what? I think the record is like something ridiculous. Something in the 30s when they, like, they throw like one three? Pass a game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the last 10 seasons, I think Mason Fine blows everybody else out of the water.
Yeah, I think he's at 8.1 right now, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. You know, I was just talking mess about people reading them. I'm reading them right now, but I admit it. I'll look that up, but, I mean, yeah, this could be a stat padding type of game, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because they're fun. Those stat padding games are fun. If we wanted, I think Mason Fine could get 400, 500 yards pretty easily. And I don't know that we're going to do that because I think our best offensive player is still Jeff Wilson. He's in his senior season. So I don't see anything wrong with giving him the ball and letting him eat. You know, letting him get his 1,000 yards plus.
All day.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really see Mason Fine throwing 50, 60 times this game. I don't really think he should. Especially considering our roster situation. We don't really have a whole lot of depth behind him. Again, it's not a knock on Quinn Chambord, but I'm just saying we don't want to beat up Mason Fine any more than we, you know, have to against the A-Tip team.
I think we'll still see him attempt more than 20 passes. Yeah, they're going to try stuff out. They're going to try different plays that might not be successful with better teams, but you don't shoot yourself in the foot, put yourself in a bad situation against a team like UTEP.
Yeah, speaking of, this 2,600 yards is the best since Derek Thompson in 2013 when he threw for 28. But he only threw for 16. This 19 touchdown passes by Mason Fine is the best since Giovanni Vizza's 20 in 2007. Nobody else has hit 20 since then. And before that, it was Mitch Mayer again in 1994. 1994 to 2007, that's how long we went without a guy throwing 20 TD passes here. Scott Hall threw for 17 in 2001, 13, 14. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of TD passes here. Yeah, so Mason Fine. I mean, obviously Mason Fine threw for 6 last year. It was less than DeMarcus Smith. He threw for 8.
Remember DeMarcus Smith?
You know,
I like that guy.
He was
on a lot of passes.
He had potential. He's fast. It was fun. He was a fun guy. It's too bad he couldn't find a place on the team last year. So career passing leaders. I mean, he's not anywhere in the passing leader thing. Touchdown passes. Guess what? 8th place is 25. I think Mason Fine had, 6 last year, 19 this year, that's 25, he's 8th all time. There you go. That's, again, we were just saying it, say he gets 29, that would put him comfortably 8th, because there's a nice gap. Giovanni Vizza had 32, he's 6th place, and he's tied with Jason Mills, 32 career touchdown passes. So he's going to be there for a while, unless he just starts going off, with those like 5, 6 a game. I'd totally be, I'm here for that, man, let's do that.
Do it.
Yeah, there you go.
And two things there. One, he's just a sophomore, so he's getting, you know, all these stats accumulated, and, yeah, you know, he's going to be here for two more years, which leads me to the next thing is, when's the last time we've had a four-year starter? I know Derek Thompson was here for 4 years, but he had, you know, issues.
It looks, I'm just, by these numbers right here, Scott Davis from 1987 to 1990. That was the guy that did it. Because you had, you know, Mitch Mayer, three-year starter, Jason Mills, three-year starter. Scott Hall started 4 years, but in between there was an Andrew Smith, RIP. 2 years Daniel Mager, 2 years Giovanni Vizza, 2 years Riley Dodge. Well, these are like the leaders. I mean, so it's kind of hard to call them starters. I mean, I don't know. But Scott Davis was the leading passer for 4 years in a row here in North Texas in the 80s. It's a long-ass time ago, guys.
A long time, yeah.
Just one more thing here, since this has turned into the Mason Fine Stat Watch. Right now, he's at 41.97. Based on my quick math here. 4,197 yards total career passing yards. And that puts him 7th all time. Just above Jason Mills in 94-97. Just under Giovanni Vizza's 5,146.
So do we expect him to go shoot up to first career-wise?
Yeah, I mean, he's halfway to first. Mitch Mayer's 8,519, you know, is not that far away. And, you know, I'd expect if it was like 4,000 yards away. That's a good air raid season is 4,000 yards, right? That's good to great, kind of. Like, if you – I said this before. If you looked at some of these guys like Rakeem Cato, even the dude – I can't remember his name right now – from TCU a couple years ago when they switched to air raid – You go through like a struggle year, and then you just hit it, and then you kind of click. It all kind of falls into place, and then you start throwing lots of TDs, lots of yards. Usually it's a lot of yards, and then the TD interception ratio improves as you get better because you're just like, you kind of get into a groove. I'm generally speaking, I don't have any of these numbers in front of me. I'm just kind of giving you an idea of what to expect, generic fan. Was he at 2,600 yards a game right now? What is that, yards per game? I'm not going to do any math live here on the podcast. Let me just do this. Yards a game. Mason Fine's at 287 yards. 287 yards a game.
Which is a big dip, yeah, from what it was before last week.
Yeah, we're at 9 games, and we potentially have 4 more games left. 5? 4? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5?
Five. We played 9, 5 more games, 14 games. So he could end this year he's projected to end this year at 4,032 yards. So you kind of see what I'm saying here about this.
It's crazy to say with 3 games left in the regular season.
Yeah.
There's 5 games potentially for him to go through.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he got, 2,600 yards pretty easily to this point. If he averages like 250 yards next season, right? And then say we don't get to a bowl game or whatever. Yeah, he's going to get right up to Mitch Mayer's record pretty quickly, like as near as next season, basically. You know what I mean?
It's nuts. And I mean, it was a system change. And
yeah,
brought a lot of excitement, brought a lot of players, and the execution has been awesome. So you're getting these just big yardage plays that are just adding up and to both stats and wins, and that's bringing in a lot of attention. I think you know, since they're all young, we're going to see a lot of improvement next season.
That's crazy to think. How many games are we playing next year? Like 12
in the regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's my back of the napkin math right now. Averaging like 287 yards a game. Let's say he ends the season 3,500 yards short. It's basically what I said of Mitch Mayer's record, 85-19, which is not unreasonable. So next season, he would just basically, if he gets 3,500 yards in that season, just averaging 291 yards a game in a 12-game season, again, not including a bowl game, He'll beat the record. He'll set the record in his junior year of playing. And that, he didn't even play a whole lot in his first year. He only threw for 1,500 yards. So that's pretty incredible. And if he takes that next leap, right, the junior year leap, where he's going to have another year with Guyton, a sophomore, Jalen Darden, you know, and then new talent that's being added, improvement all across the board.
O-line getting better.
Yeah, I mean, like, so then, you know, 287 yards is maybe 315 yards a game. You know what I mean? Or maybe it's in the TDs. I don't know. My point is that it's fun. This is kind of what we were hoping for last year, maybe seeing Alec Morris kind of touch some of the single-season records. But, hey, it's Mason Fine. It happened a lot quicker, a lot faster than I thought it would. For him, like him getting starts, I thought maybe we'd see his first year this year. Whatever. It's all been good. And it means I trust the coaching staff a little bit more than I think other people, maybe on the internet. Other people that you can find on the internet don't trust them so much. The staff.
Yeah, some people don't like 1-point wins. And while I don't blame them, but I mean, it's the game of football. And a win is a win, and it's hard to score points on the football field.
You sound like you've been listening to Tony Romo a lot. Play some football. Play some football. All right. I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of those 1-point wins. I mean, I think doing that whole, if you ask me before the season, is good. And some people are like, oh, don't give me that crap. I'm going to give it to you. And here you're going to have to take it. Because here's the deal, man. That gives you perspective. When you're in the moment, you can get too hyped up and, you know, you're just, I don't know what you want. You have to balance it out with preseason expectations. And then, you know, after the season, you got to look back and say, hey, that win they were super hyped up about, was that a good win? Right? Because you could do that same thing with, like, say, UTSA. Again, I was talking about this today at work. Somebody, I don't know. They're like, for whatever reason, just bagging on Baylor. I joined in happily. I was like, we roasting Baylor right now? Count me in. Put down my coffee. So, Baylor coming into the season, I think if you're a UTSA or if you're a Conference USA fan, you're rooting for good there. And you're like, hey, UTSA beats Baylor at Baylor. And you're like, whoa, man, that's great. It must be a great season. And Baylor's not very good. They're really, really bad. So maybe you're not so hyped about that, right? So after the season, you look back, you're like, that was cool at the time when we beat Baylor. But yeah, it turns out that was not super impressive. So, it's, you know, we got to say, hey, look, a Power 5 win, but they're not good. So we should expect them to win. At the end of the season, I mean, Louisiana Tech is not as good as I thought they were going to be, right? So before the season, I would have been hyped. After the season, I'm like, you know what? That was a solid win, all things considered. And I'll still take it. Looking at it from both sides, you got to take it. In the moment, I was smoking a cigar, you know, toasting people. I was a little bit more hyped, but that's fine. You're happy about it anyway. Except maybe the ODU one. I wasn't happy about that one.
And, you know, again, the preseason expectations, I had them, you know, I struggled to go from 4 wins to 6 wins, barely getting bowl eligible after 12 games. But now after 9 games, they are bowl eligible. So they're performing above expectations in terms of the wins. But, you know, I was thinking my rationale was that this is a young, inexperienced offense. We've got people that have never played together before. Sure, the defense has played. They played well last year to an extent, but you know they're still playing in certain games up to that expectation that I had, where they could keep it close, but maybe they'd lose those 50-50 games. But they're not losing those 50-50 games. They're out coaching the other teams. They're outperforming the other teams when it matters. And that's all you need. You don't need a 50-point blowout if 1 point will do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good... I think 50, if you win by 50, that's more indicative of your quality than a 1 point, right? Like, 1 point win, right. You're like, oh,
well, that... I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, well, you really got lucky because they missed that call. And yeah, so that's, again, this is, you get into the football cliche territory when you start talking about how one play can change a game. Yeah. Because luck happens, and so you want to make sure that you control every variable and don't contribute to luck. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the ball's going to bounce their way. It's a oddly shaped ball, and it could bounce their way. Sometimes the ref's going to see the interception that you clearly got as a drop, and, you know, it's not going to go your way. So if your whole season, your whole plan of action comes down to, you know what, we're going to hopefully win all the calls, all those 50-50 calls, that's going to be our – that's bad risk management, right? You know what I mean? So what can you do to improve your shot at winning, right, to reduce your risk level? Get better players, you prepare for the team, you know, et cetera, all the things you do to win a football game. So, yeah, I agree.
I think that's what's coming next.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting better players.
So coming into the season, I was like, we're going to have an improved offense. I just didn't think they were going to be this good. Yeah, they are really good. And so it's hard, again, being in the moment, right? It's hard to look at an offense really good, and you see the number one ranking in the conference, right? And you're like, they should be better because a number one team should be better. But then you forget, like you said, about what we kind of expected coming in. They maybe outperformed their abilities, or maybe we underestimated. We have to figure that out. I think right now they played 9 games. We know what the team is. They play about 2 quarters of really great offensive football, and then they play 2 quarters of not-so-great football. And if in the not-so-great time, if we can get 1 quarter that's just okay, instead of interception or 2 sacks and 2 punts, instead of 16 yards, hey, maybe it's 50 yards and a field goal. Maybe it's 70 yards and we pin them back. I'll take it, because we have, as long as we have those other 2 quarters where we just come out looking amazing. First quarter against UTSA, the second quarter, was it, against Southern Miss? Yeah. First quarter against ODU, the fourth quarter against Louisiana Tech. Fourth quarter against all those teams. That's the thing, is that I've been saying that. We've been talking about it. The advanced numbers, my eyes tell me that we are really good in the fourth quarter. When it matters, what can you be excited about? When it matters, when the other team is like, oh, man, this is winning time, right, as all the shock jocks will tell you, all the afternoon drive guys, hey, it's winning time. Can they man up and get it? Yes, we can. Fourth quarter against UTSA. 98 yards ago, touchdown time, right? This is beside the point. They started out from the 2-yard line to start the game there against Louisiana Tech. I've seen so many of my favorite football teams just immediately crumble at that point. And they didn't. They got yardage. Jeff Wilson runs down the sideline. Hey, guess what? We're not pinned back anymore, turns out. But, yeah, fourth quarter against Louisiana Tech, 6 minutes to go. Jeff Wilson, touchdown. That's what you needed.
Yeah, and our numbers are pretty elite in the fourth quarter. And the advanced stats, S&P Plus is 11th for the defense, and I think like 16th for the offense. So we do excellent in the fourth quarter. And credit to the defense, you know, outside of the big scores that we've allowed UAB, and, you know, two of them were a breakdown in coverage, and then to Florida Atlantic, the other conference games, what is it, other 4 conference games, we average 25 points per game allowed. Yeah. So that's pretty decent.
Yeah, that's a winning margin. You can win with that. And we talked about that before the season. We're like, look, if this defense can just do enough, if it just could do enough, we expected them to get more interceptions, still be kind of, you give up big plays, we get more interceptions.
Not as disruptive as it was last season.
But they've been more stout against the run. So you take one. I mean, I don't know. Like, we're good at some things. You know, like we're good at really good at a couple things. We're really good at stopping the run. We're really good on offense. You know, like being efficient. We're bad at some things. We're bad at 3rd and 10 defensively, and we're bad at short yardage offensively. It's like that's a sign that we're not a complete team. But what you got to remember is, like, hey, we're really good at these other things. And if you look at, like, a UTEP, they'd wish they could be good at one thing. Like, I mean, wouldn't it be great to score, you know?
Yeah, and like you said, we're not a complete team. And imagine what we would be with a complete team. And that's going to be, it's going to be on the coaches. Everybody's going to be paying attention because we could perform better.
Yeah, that's what gets me excited. I mean, coming into this year, I was a little bit more positive than you were. You can go back and listen to that preview podcast where I was like, yeah, we did the picks. Here's what I wrote about Louisiana Tech before the season. I predicted a loss. I said, La Tech is consistently impressed with their ability to reload and compete for the conference title. There is no reason to believe that this will change significantly this year. North Texas was handled easily by La Tech's talented wide receivers in Denton in 2016, and the graduation of those two will help things out a bit, but this one's in Louisiana. This will be on paper the toughest conference opponent and should be a good gauge for North Texas' standing long term. So, obviously, I was a little bit wrong because they're not as good. You know, they haven't lived up to that expectation. They had some injuries. They haven't played as well, and they've kind of let things kind of steamroll. But they're still a good team. I mean, they lost by 1 point to UAB. They gave up a lead to Southern Miss. And, you know, they played us, and they lost by 1 point. They had the lead against us. They were almost going to beat us. So we can be very proud of that win because I'm pretty damn sure that Louisiana Tech's going to be good next year.
Yeah, and they had all those injuries, and they're still competing. You know, that's good quality depth. If we lose Guyton,
yeah,
you know,
what do we get?
That's a big phase of the game. You know, no disrespect to Turner Smiley, but Guyton is head and shoulders above a lot of those guys on that team.
Yeah, and so now I wrote this. I wrote that we barely beat UTEP. I thought UTEP would be tougher. Obviously, they've regressed some, but you know, I thought also we'd beat FAU. I didn't think FAU was gonna be that good. You never know in this league, you know. You gotta take your opportunities when they come, and I think we've done enough of that. You can't really expect too much. I don't expect them to go out there and beat Iowa. I don't expect them to. I mean, who did we play last year? Florida. I don't expect them to do that. But you want your team to do the best they can with what they have, right? And I'll say we've done about 70 to 80% of that, doing the best that we can with what we have. Obviously, the FAU game was a disappointment, right? Last year's UTEP game was a disappointment. And yeah, there may be reasons. You're like, oh, well, they just kind of got beat up. That's why they allowed Aaron Jones to slice through them. That's why they let the tight end just kill them. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I guess I can see that. I don't like that, and I think maybe a different coach kind of prevents it. I don't know. It's college football. Teams get blown out all the time.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban has the best team in America, like, every year for the last, 10 years, and he hasn't won 10 straight national titles. So, even...
Yeah, because Alabama sucks.
yeah, I mean, so... What are we trying to say here as we get near the end of this show? I think we're trying to say that we should take full advantage. This is an opportunity game right here. Yes, we can worry about all the things that could happen, right? We could get injured. We can not come out strong and play. But this is it's an opportunity to go beat a team that's given us a larger margin for error, you know? So we can kind of play with a freedom of, like, we make one little mistake, then we could lose this entire game. I think sometimes that can freeze a team more than help a team, where you just, instead of coming out hyper-focused, you know, as you think they would be, you know that they have to do everything they can to win, they can kind of get tensed up. And like, oh, if we make a mistake, we're going to lose. But if you come out and you know you can swing freely, did you see this fight recently? It was the other night. It was like, I forget. It was the dude just came out there, and he was just standing with his arms straight down, and he was just swinging haymakers at him. He's like, this guy can't hurt me. I'm going to just give him a haymaker to the face. And he did. It's like three, boom, boom, boom. It was pretty awful, and the ref should have stopped it. But that's what we need to do to UTEP, because UTEP has nothing for us. They don't. They don't want to be there because, you know, they're like, this whole situation's bad. Let's restart next year. We've seen it. So North Texas has lots to play for. And so they need to swat them. They need to beat them down. They need to come out and throw haymakers right away. Sit them down. Yeah. Make them quit in the first quarter.
They need to clinch the division on Saturday, and they need to keep rolling hot into the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need it.
I'm trying to look up this knockout so I can show you who it was. We have some questions from Alec Nicholas. What kind of mix is that? I'm going to respond to him. It's going to be a Q&A, and we'll end the show with this. So let's do it. First off, North Texas turnaround is underrated and amazing. Where did it start, and what's the program's new overall ceiling? let's shorten that up and say, when did this turn? Well, I mean, obviously, to me, it started when we hired Seth Luttrell. Yes?
Yes, immediately.
Yeah, day one, turnaround started. What's our overall ceiling? Aldo.
Conference title?
You think, I mean, like, not, I mean, I think, say Seth Luttrell stayed here 4 years. What is the most we can achieve there? Is it a top 25 rating? Is it conference title or two? Good bowl game?
I don't know. I guess I'm still kind of reluctant to say, or a little cynical about a top 25, but bowl games every year should be now a standard, an expectation.
Yeah, I mean, we are just outside of a 10-win season, right? If we win, we're at 6 now. If we win these next 3, it'll be 9 wins, and then we have a conference title game, whatever. I think the next step is to get 10 wins in a conference. I think it's very possible. So I think a double-digit regular season is like the immediate, like I said, 4 years. I mean, the ceiling in one time frame. Can you describe Mason Fine in one word?
Mighty.
Fine dozer. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'd say. How has Jeffrey Wilson evolved his game under Graham Harrell's offense? I can answer. He does the same things that he did before, but his pass blocking is amazing now. I think he's really stepped up. He's always pretty good. He really stepped up in his pass blocking. He's always been a good pass catcher. I think he's just done a lot of those things better. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think his running has improved, and especially in the in tight spaces, because he's generally just like he's a run bender. He'll run around you.
Yeah.
But now he's getting better at just breaking tackles more than he used to, because before it was running over people.
Yeah.
And he's not that big of a dude, and yeah, now he's breaking all these tackles like you saw in that one highlight play at the end of the La Tech game.
Yeah. Does Graham Harrell like Mexican food? And could you see him jumping at the opportunity to coach like at UTEP? I don't know if he likes Mexican food, honestly. I mean, I'm guessing he's probably, yeah, I mean, I don't.
I mean, he has to. He's from Ennis.
Yeah. I do think he might take a head coaching job. His dad was a coach. He took this gig pretty quickly, so he has confidence in himself. I tweeted out I quote tweeted something out where, like, Mike Leach was, like, signaling to Luke Falk. He's like, run this formation and think about these two plays. Maybe a 95, which, you know, white cross. 96, which is, like, all curl or whatever. Think about those plays, you know. So like, and then Graham Harrell had, I know by his senior season, he had like total freedom almost. He would just like send a couple receivers out there, and Graham Harrell calls a play. So he's been calling plays for a long time, and you know, he's smart dude. Mike Leach always says he was always in the film room. He's really smart. He knows what to do. I can see him taking a head coaching gig sooner than like Seth Luttrell did, who went through like 5 stops before he decided to do that. I think a lot of it depends on what he does here. If we get that 10-win season, and if we sneak up on like a top 25 rating, somebody's going to want him, and somebody's going to be willing to pay him. And I don't see why he wouldn't take it.
Just not next year.
Yeah. Yeah, not at UTEP, I don't think. 2 defensive players UTEP fans should know about.
Eric Jenkins.
Yeah, and I'll throw in Andy Flushi. He's been underrated all season. He's been really good in getting to background, into the backfield. Andy Flushi is a dude. Prediction. We're going to blow him out.
81-0.
I say 55-10. 55 to 10. It might be like 44, something like that. Because I don't think our special teams is like return kicks. I think you kind of need some of those. And I don't think we get like the interceptions that we need. And I think UTEP just likes to get in a shell, turn around, hand the ball off, and they're really good at doing that. You know? So they're just
all right, let's throw all the predictions out. Darden, return kick. Mason Fine, 2 rushing touchdowns.
You know, if this is anything like the NCAA 14 games that I played against UTEP where I just completely smoked them, it's like 5 touchdowns a game, easy. 450 yards passing. I got a nice little balanced offense where I throw for like 400 and I run for like 200, you know? So then we get 200 yards rushing. You know? Jeff Wilson, 165 yards, 4 touchdowns. Something like that. That's what I see. That's what I see in my my prediction book.
Jalen Darden, 150 receiving yards.
Yeah, just killing them. Killing them. Yeah, so that's the deal. That's the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes. You can leave a review. I think it helps people find it, but I don't know what they do. I never read the reviews of a podcast. I just click it, I guess. It's usually recommended. Somebody's like, hey, this is a podcast. This is good. You should listen to it. Or somebody I follow, and they're like, hey, I got a podcast. I'll find it that way. Do you read iTunes reviews of podcasts that you decide to listen to?
No, never.
Yeah, well, so leave a review. Maybe I'll read it. I mean, I think I'll definitely read it. I'm like, oh, man, you think I sound like what? Hold my beer. Yeah, so there's the deal. I killed that forum because nobody. I wanted to change. I didn't like people commenting using the WordPress comments because it's too spammy. So I'm going to do this fancy discourse thing, and it's going to be great because it's really cool to comment on. But then we used it because it's too many hoops to jump through. So I can't even recommend that. I just saw somebody ask, hey, you have a forum? It's like, no, I don't. I just saw it tweeted at me. Somebody DM'd me. So there's that. You can DM me or Aldo. He's on Twitter. You're at Twitter on
what? Aldo Avina, A-L-D-O-A-V-I-N-A. I probably need to shorten that.
No, it's fine. And then we're both on GoMeanGreen.com. You can find us there. Send us an email. Get in touch with us. We enjoy talking about our favorite team. Thanks for listening. Go Mean Green. Waiting for you to do it, man.
I was thinking about saying, sorry, UTEP, Go Mean Green.
There you go. That's good.